four. No, well, we are at the end of C. Again, we encourage participation. We encourage that you be a part of the Bible study by sharing your knowledge on the subject or the text, that where you see the need to, you will seek clarification on anything that is said, and where you see the need to, you will correct what needs to be corrected in case something is said which in your sincere view might not be in keeping with the scripture. We do encourage your participation. We are studying the subject of head covering as taught in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, really verse 1 through verse 16, while the subject is picked up at around verse 2 and 3, we are taking the entire context. Everyone has a lesson sheet, I assume. Okay. We have a visitor with us named Robert Stevenson. Don't you agree, Cadian, that he's a visitor? She doesn't like to share. So we get in the lesson. The corrective but, could somebody pick up there for me?
The corrective but in verse 3 is of the same chapter indicates that they were acquainted with the subject introduced by the but. It was no new revelation to the Corinthians church. Paul had spent 18 months at Corinth previous to the letter and would have addressed the subject then. It is likely that some of the Christians at Corinth were not following the instruction previously given on the subject, hence the corrective.
And
but.
this is really the situation. When he said in verse 3, but, you can see that the Apostle Paul was picking up on the subject that he's about to expand on. So, and there's no doubt the likely time that Paul would have dealt with the subject of headship would be when he spent some 18 months at Corinth. So naturally, from reading this and the but introducing the subject he's about to pick up on, the Corinthians were well aware of the subject. D.
As one reads 1 Corinthians 1, 1 and 2, it will be noticed that the epistle was written by Christ's inspired apostle, and that while it was written to the Corinthian Christians, it was also written and meant for the guidance of all Christians in every place for all times.
Remember, in chapter 1, think 1 and 2 bears this out. We are not adding something to the letter here. The letter of Corinthians was intended for a universal audience. So the foolishness we hear when it comes to head covering, like Paul was addressing some local situation at Corinth because there were some disorderly, indisciplined people there, is just that does not concur with what the book of Corinthians stated. Okay? Read.
We now study 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 16. Notice also Paul's reminder and warning to the Corinthians and to all saints in every place.
Very important. In fact, over the study of this lesson, you will see that quite often I'll be bringing up 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37. It is very important that this be kept in mind.
If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord.
Everybody gets it? This is going to come up right through this series of study because it is quite relevant when we want to pick out what we don't like and throw it one side and stick to what we like. This doesn't hold. Paul tell the Corinthians because he knew that there would be people there who would be coming up with different concepts in respect to what he wrote. So in fact, it is both a warning and an encouragement. It's an encouragement for them to be mindful that what he's writing is not his own ideas. It's not the imagination of his heart. It's also a warning that they must remember not to rebel against what he's writing. You know, a lot of time we get stuck with the human agency. And members of the Lord's church, Christian, must always remember that. And we have seen this through the Bible, New and Old Testament. Herod and his wife who asked for John the Baptist's head, they got stuck with the messenger John the Baptist, not realizing that they would have served their eternal interest better as they look beyond the messenger. You see, and we see it in the Old Testament. Ahab and Jezebel got stuck with Elisha and others of the prophet. They got stuck with the wrong person. And over and over we see this. You know, which guy there Paul had to strike him with blindness? Ananias. Sapphira got stuck with Peter and probably other church leaders. If Ananias and Sapphira just remembered that, you know, when giving or doing anything as Christian, we are dealing with God. Church leaders are just agents, and we have to be careful. So, you know, if any among you seem to be spiritual, or what?
A prophet.
Or a prophet, that if they feel that they are. In fact, we sometimes miss the substance of the passage. What, in effect, the Apostle Paul is saying, if you're a prophet or spiritual, this is how you're going to show that you're a prophet or spiritual. By acknowledging that's what the passage really means. You see, this is how you're going to show that you're a true prophet are spiritual from God when you acknowledge, because if you're a true child of God, the spirit that inspired me to write this should be the same spirit working in you. And if you find a desire to reject what I'm writing, it's an indication that you are not a prophet of God.
I particularly like this reference to the point being made is that it is a guide to all Christians everywhere and for all times.
That's right.
And so when we make reference to this passage in 1 Corinthians 14,
yes,
it says, if any man, where is that man?
That's right.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Anywhere, wherever he's found.
And at what age are we talking about?
That's right.
Is it 1,000 years ago?
That's right. Everybody heard what Brother Weddy's saying? The passage, 1 Corinthians 14:37, is so universal. You cannot escape. You cannot limit it to just Corinth. You cannot limit it to just the people at Corinth. Because it is so expansive. Brother Webb, go on.
No, that's it.
Yes, so very important. If any man, which any man, wherever he is found, what time, at any time, the passage is that expansive. Okay? Read on.
It's 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 34, commandment of the Lord, and applicable to all Christians, but verse 1 to 16 is not commanded of the Lord and not applicable to all Christians everywhere.
That's a question. Y'all see the implication? Remember, chapter verse 17, the same chapter. Verse 17 following deals with the communion. Almost everybody everywhere who claim they believe, especially people of the Lord's church, that they accept the Bible, will tell you, yes, we believe that is relevant and applicable to us today. Well, on what basis now will you reject the rest of the very same chapter and claim that either it is not commandment of the Lord or it is not relevant? On what basis? On what principle? No one can honestly handle God's word that way. Now, whenever, if my attention is not in your direction when you want to make a comment, just call out my name and you'll get my attention. There are other times when I'll stop to allow for question, but there are times when you may just want to ask a question. Of course, it doesn't necessarily that while I'll take your question, it doesn't necessarily mean I'll answer it right then. I might be on a point that I want to finish, then I'll deal with your question. But the question will be dealt with. I've been anxious to get to the actual text. What I have been doing in the lesson so far, and this was purpose, is introducing the lesson and address some preliminaries. We are going to be getting into the text now, verse by verse. Okay? I'm going to be asking Brother Webb, please just let me find it. Okay, could you read from verse 1?
"Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Now
okay,
I pray
that is a good Paul was sincere. Paul didn't preach something for preaching its sake. He strove to practice what he preached. He believed in what he preached. He was convicted about what he preached. Okay? Read.
Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them to you.
Now, here is a timely praise. Of course, he's going to get at them. You see. But wisely, those areas where they practice and accepted teaching given to them, he's praising them for that. You see. Notice the word ordinance in verse 2. Very important. Read.
The word ordinance is also translated traditions.
In fact, it is the word that is translated tradition. And what we are going to see here over the years, I hear people make a big thing about the word custom. In fact, there are many arguments that they destroy the passage and that word custom. Oh my God. We are going to take a look on other places where the word custom is used. And you know, may I? Whenever you study the Bible, brothers and sisters, with whomever you are studying it, and always study the Bible to learn what the Bible teaches on that subject. Don't study the Bible to use it deceitfully. You just want to get at somebody or you want to win an argument. No. Study the Bible, because I'm saying, let's say something comes up that I feel that 1 Corinthians is not 11, is not relevant, and I'm studying up on it. I come upon the word custom or tradition. What honesty would drive me to do? Let me find out what these words really mean. Let me do some more study and research on them. And that's not just the subject and the BTR's talking about baptism, whatever you are studying. Try to understand what the Bible is teaching. And if you come upon a word that you wonder about it, do some research in the scripture. The many time I hear people, don't you see Paul said it, custom? Well, we can say, don't you see, he said, I'm going to show you other place where he said it's tradition. But when we look, we are going to realize that there is difference between God's tradition and human tradition.
That's right. Amen.
Very important. And we're going to see it in the Bible. Okay? Start again.
Note the word ordinance in verse 2. The word ordinance is also translated tradition. Mark 7:3.
Let us look at those passages and how the word tradition is used. May I? The word ordinance here, you know, mean God's commandment. That's what it means here. Okay, let us look at the passage under consideration. Mark chapter 7, verse 3.
For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders.
Who commanded the Israelite to wash their hands? This was from God. Are we all there? Through Moses. Are we all there? Are we all there? This was from God through Moses, that they wash the hands when they eat. You know what I find striking about this passage? The Bible predates science and modern health principle. Because in this, the Almighty God knew thousands of years ago the germ that we carry on our hands. He was protecting the children of Israel when he commanded that they wash their hands before they eat. They made it into a religious thing. It was really a health thing. You see, it's just over the past few decades that modern health professional and science come to recognize the importance of washing our hand and how much germ we can catch by not washing our hands. Okay, that was verse 3, verse 8 and 9.
For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition.
Okay, that was verse... Okay, look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 8.
Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ.
2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16.
Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all.
Is that chapter 3:16?
Second Thessalonians 3:16, yes.
Okay. Must be just a minute. I think it is 2.
Yeah.
And just a minute. And correct it, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15.
Therefore.
Just a minute. What you're going to notice here. May I? Some minutes ago, I told you that there is a difference between the tradition of what?
Man.
Of man, which is man-made, commanded, handed down through the years, and the tradition of God, which is God's revealed divine truth. They are not the same. Even though the Bible may use the same word to deal with them, but they are not the same. In the passage we have just read, Just such as Mark chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, man's tradition is under consideration there. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, man's tradition is under consideration there. That is always condemned by God's word. Everybody gets it? Where we make man-made teaching that has been handed down through the years, make it and equate it to God's word, we sin. The Bible condemns that. But then, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, read it.
Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which have been taught, whether by word or our epistle.
Everybody gets that? What they should do, Brother Webb?
Stand fast.
And the word fast, we use the word tight. He's telling them to hold tightly, stand firmly in the inspired teachings of Jesus Christ that was taught to them by Paul, another apostle. But he called it what?
Traditions.
Tradition. So you will learn now, and we're going to some other passages. And 100 years from now, you should try not to forget that when a person speaks about tradition, you need to go to the text to find out, is it talk about man-made tradition or God's tradition? Divine tradition stands alone by itself because it is the commandment of God. The passage we read here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15 is talking about God-inspired instruction as given through the apostle to the Thessalonian Christian. It's not talk about man-made tradition. So don't mix them up and don't let people confuse you. Tradition, let me see the text. There's two kind of tradition, man-made tradition and divine tradition. Divine tradition is God's directive to the church, to his people today. Yes, Brother Bramley.
For the honest heart, and particularly those of us who have gone further in our studies, particularly preachers who have studied the Greek, all the passages that you have referenced thus far, from verse 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, from Colossians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. This is just a typing error, by the way. It's verse 6.
Yes,
That word tradition, if we honestly seek the true meaning, as you have correctly interpreted, the Greek word that is used there is paragosis.
Yeah.
It means God's divine instruction. Any Greek New Testament Bible, when we look at the Greek, that is exactly what it is used.
That's right.
It's a separate word that is used when we look at man's traditions.
And even though sometimes the same word might be used, Brother Bramley, even where the same word is used, you find that the context usually tell you
that's right
whether it's talking about God's commandment or man's commandment.
As in the case in Mark.
You see.
Clearly outlines that.
Yes. Okay. Read on. It is important.
it is important that we understand words such as tradition, ordinance.
Remember, the word that is translated ordinance is from this Greek word that other places in the New Testament is translated tradition.
And custom, and the context in which they are used in Scripture. Tradition or ordinances, as used in this passage, 1 Corinthians 11:2, means instructions, commandments, precepts, injunctions, or orders.
That is from God. Okay, read on.
Teaching and instruction given and inspired by God are completely different from man-made, man-origin tradition or teaching which God's word has condemned.
Okay, look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 2 through 6. Read aloud, Brother Webb.
Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition.
By your tradition. Now notice now 2 Thessalonians, this time not chapter 2 verse 15 which we have read, but chapter 3 verse 6 and verse 14. Let us hear it. Chapter 3 verse 6.
Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us.
I'll get the point. Tradition which you receive of us. What is that tradition? God's divine instruction. That's right. You see, divine instruction from God. Notice, read it again. Verse.
Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us.
This tradition is not talk about man-made, man-origin ideas. And talk about God's divine truth as was given by the apostle. It's called tradition. But the Thessalonian would realize that this is different from man-made tradition. Read the other verse, verse 14.
And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed.
Everybody gets it? How does verse 14 relate to verse 6? Read verse 14 again.
And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed.
Paul was not instructing the Corinthians to have no company with anybody who failed to obey some ideas that Paul ciphered out. Everything Paul stated in the book of Thessalonians to the Thessalonians it was God's command for them to obey. And anybody who resisted, they were not resisting Paul. They were not resisting Paul's idea or Paul's command, but Jesus' command. Any question?
A comment here.
Yes.
You know, the word, there are some words that, well, to say traditionally, but there are some words that, probably because of how we hear it,
yeah,
customarily.
Yes.
You know, how we often hear it.
That's a fact. There are some words. Go on, brother.
Right. Mm. That we take a particular. We think that it always means that way that we look at it. So the word tradition is one such word. Lust is a
very
word.
Very important.
Which means desire.
Very important.
But oftentimes, because we see a lot of reference to it, in the negative, we think that once you lust, then it's something negative, but you can lust positively.
Very important. May I? It's important that we keep in mind what Brother Webb has said. We can become so used to a word being used in a particular sense that we do not even, something comes up, and we do not even take time off to further understand that the word being used here doesn't have the traditional meaning we associate with it. Very important that we, and I think this is what threw off so many of our preachers with the word tradition or custom. And what just a little honest study, just a little, would show them, take the word tradition. You know, as Brother Webb just relate, just when I came from college in the US, for the next 6-7 months, I didn't get a work started. I was going different places, helping different congregations. But I always go back to Elliston Road because that was my base. As a young man, that's where I grew up. That's where I learned to preach my first sermon and everything. So, you know, me and the family, that's where we go. And in one Wednesday night Bible study like this, there was one heated discussion. I've told you all about it, myself and Carl Maple. Carl Maple, wonderful, he was one of the persons associated with the school. And Carl Maple was a good man. And I consider him a good Christian person as far as I'm. I have great respect for Brother Maple. But when the word, something about lust came up, and I was pointing out that the word lust is not necessarily a bad word. And Brother Maple, of course, Brother Maple at that time could be my father. He was a man well advanced in age, in respect to my age then. I was probably just about 35, then 30, 35, whatever, if that old. Brother Maple at that time was probably 60 odd. And have been in the church 15 years, and he disagreed. He said the word lust is a bad word, and he can't. And I just remind the audience, I says, well, are you saying when the Bible said the flesh lusted against the spirit and the spirit lusted against the flesh? I said, here you have the spirit lusting. Because all that the word means, as Brother Webb just, is desire. Wanting something. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, wanting you to take a certain direction. But the carnal-minded person in us wants to take another direction. And you know. So as Brother Webb said, and this again, we can become so accustomed to a particular word being used in a negative way. One, we have never moved beyond to find out, is this word used like this all the time? Or is there another context within which the word is used? And again, I said the word custom is a case in point. Question. Yes, Sister Brown.
The lessons that we had a couple weeks ago, you know, the word always malice. Thought that malice meant,
right.
You know,
that's right.
In our term, we would say keeping malice is not talking to somebody.
Right.
But when you really check it in the dictionary, it means to cause harm.
To cause harm.
To
that's
person,
it.
You
and,
know?
And for most of us, you know, in fact, it's, thank God for the Bible. It's the Bible that enlightened me. Because, you know, we grow up in an environment where you are keep malice. Simply because you don't talk to the person. And the word, and that's not what it means. It has nothing to do with not talking to. You see. So it the very important.
Sorry, Bobby.
Yes.
Complete the thought. So, the things we sometimes it's the abuse that we have seen too.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Because like even in the church, you know, for many of us, we can't say amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Because we have seen the abuse.
Thank you, brother. Thank
Hallelujah
you.
is a term.
Thank you. Truly, brother Wayne. Thank you. And I wish it's one of those night, you know, people, of course, take leave of worship because it's Christmas. So many of the members who would be here tonight, of course, a lot of our members are out of town. But, you know, it's Christmas, so, you know. I'm sorry, more of them is not here. Say that again, Brother Will.
No, I'm saying that sometimes because we have seen the abuse
of the word amen and hallelujah.
Right. Because if coming back to the word tradition, is that there are some religious groups who place so much emphasis on tradition.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Of yesteryear, that sometimes probably as members of the church, it's almost like we run to the other extreme. Not recognizing that if the tradition is based on the word of God, then it's not man's tradition.
It's not man's tradition. And you see, this business where the pendulum swing to the other extreme and we deprive ourselves. Because as Brother Webb rightly said, so many members are either ashamed or afraid to say amen. When the Almighty God, according to more than one place in the Bible, well, over and over in the Bible, Christians participate in a lesson when they give their consent to truth. Amen. From Old to New Testament. So much so that Paul implied that even the ungodly person who sit in the audience will say amen when they hear truth. Yet men and women who have been in the church for umpteen years. I remember there was sister, she was assistant to Eddie in the Sunday school, Sister Knight. She was a retired teacher and used to assist Eddie in the Sunday school program. She was a blessed soul. And she had a niece who belonged to one of these so-called Church of God who worshiped here a few times. And she brought to mind, she said, Brother Mitchell, when I say amen to certain truth you were saying, I saw your members them looking around on me. And I felt ashamed. You see, because it's like the member is saying, oh, what idiot that. You know, and they are the one, it's the member who are to sit, listen to God's word, and when you hear truth that connects, you are to give your assent and consent to it. When the Bible talks about if all preach, how are all going to preach? When you participate in the lesson. Eh? But as Brother Webb just pointed out, because amen and hallelujah has been so abused in the so-called Church of God, we become what? Afraid. We go to the other extreme. And sometimes, well, many of you know I've commented on it. I beg to, not for myself, but sometimes a brother is praying a prayer and touch an important point that ought to be our thought and concern, and we are as silent as the grave. Truly. You know, that's not good. It doesn't say well between us and God. That's why many members fall asleep in church. They are not a part of the lesson. Truly. You see, and what is it? We have seen too much abuse with the word amen and hallelujah. Lot of the people, them who use it in the so-called Church of God Pentecostal, don't even know how the word is to be used. The word was never meant to be an emotional exclamation. The word was meant to be a rational support and consent to truth. But we, just as Brother Webb says, you have a church who base so much of their religion on tradition. So the moment we see the word tradition, we think it's a bad thing. Oh, I wish I could tell clap them to stand still. Time. Yes. Yes, Sister Mean.
Where the brother will be praying, or you're praying, I'll be praying also.
Yes.
So I don't stop to say amen because I'm
yes,
praying.
Yes, truly, you're yes, right, Sister Mean. What Sister Mean is saying, sometimes when the brother praying, we bow our head, we, in fact, that's going to be coming up about silent prayer. When Paul says, the woman who pray or prophesy. So that's going to be coming up, that we are a part of the prayer. Brother is called upon to lead us in prayer. It's one of two things I would say. Either you bow your head and his wording, that prayer, become your wording. You are listening to it, and the truth, the thanksgiving is expressing, the request is making to God, is your thanksgiving, it's your request. And it is for this reason we say amen. But not only that, many times too, we are saying silently our own prayer. And that is also right, and that's what Sister Main was saying. You see, okay? Just let me see now. We're going to stop here.